Hi, welcome to another episode of Pault on Power, Power System Design's podcast on the latest in power and power design. I'm your host, Alex Pault, and today I've got Carl Gaywell. He's the Executive Director of the Geothermal Energy Association. Hi, Carl. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Alex. Glad to be on.
Oh, the pleasure is ours. I mean, when we're talking about the smart grid and we talk about moving forward, and we have so many different power sources and there are so many different ways to inject energy into the grid, geothermal's got a role. How do you see that role developing?
Well, I think that's the challenge geothermal faces because, you know, traditionally people had looked at geothermal as baseload power, using 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. And there's still going to be a need for baseload power, in my view, particularly as we try to back out coal power plants. But the system itself is just much more dynamic, and the needs of the power systems just to keep their reliability, to stay running properly, are going to require very much more flexible power sources, and I think geothermal can do that as well.
So, but now, well, at least geothermal's got one advantage over the other quote-unquote green technologies, is that, you know, the sun may go down, but the earth doesn't get cold.
The earth is still going to keep radiating heat from its center for millions of years.
There you go. So, but, I mean, geothermal, it can displace coal, obviously, as a baseline power, but, I mean, it should also be able to address a lot of other aspects of the grid, a lot of the quick demand aspects as well.
That's one of the issues we tried to bring out strongly at the summit we just held in Reno. The fact that there is a, you know, looking at geothermal as just baseload power is sort of the antiquated way to look at it. We like to look at geothermal as being firm and flexible power, and that we had many of the major utility companies, the Cal ISO was there, several of the major companies spoke to this, like Ormat, who had an engineering study done that looked at what could geothermal power plants do? What kind of dispatchability could they have? And they found that their engineering study showed that a binary geothermal power plant can ramp up and down faster than a gas plant can.
Really?
That's what you want it to do, yes.
Let's back up for that a second, because, I mean, you say it so casually, but the geothermal, I mean, aren't they similar technologies in that they're thermal transfer systems? I mean, a gas plant is burning a fire. I mean, the gas plant can't make the fire hot enough as quickly as, okay, I gather, because the earth is at a constant temperature. Is that what you're saying? Is it the ramp-up fire?
What you're doing is you're not ramping up the heat. You're still running the heat through the power system. The binary power plant, you've got hot water on one set of pipes, a heat exchanger, and then the working fluid. So you keep the heat running, but you can basically disengage what you're doing in between the two systems. And they, in fact, Ormat just is turning over a plant to Helco, the Hawaii Electric Light Company, that will be dispatchable. And in the past, some other power plants, even some of the bigger high-temperature plants, have load followed, where that's what the utilities have needed them to do. So it's pretty clear we can be flexible. And the real question is to look at now in a real serious way, well, if geothermal has broader capabilities to meet the needs of the system, how do we fit it in? What's the right mix? And really, I think the big question is going to be, what are the economics?
Well, that's why I was touching earlier about the issue on the ramping up and the ramping down and the availability of power is, in the case of, say, a wind farm or a solar farm, you start dealing with energy storage and grid stiffening that you've got to actually start putting capacitance or however you want to store that energy, batteries, redox, vanadium, fuel cells, or whatever. If you've got a temporary on-off power source, you're going to have to put something in the grid to stiffen it, whereas geothermal, since you can ramp it up and down to meet demand, at least you shouldn't need any type of grid stiffening, except for things for disaster preparedness.
Well, that may or may not be true, but I don't think that's what's going to evolve. I think what's going to evolve is a mix.
Oh, well, yeah, recognizably, yeah.
What you're going to do is you're going to look for the right mix at the best price, at the highest rate of reliability. And I think that's one of the things that is actually the good news, is that if geothermal can be much more flexible, then we can fit into a system better with wind and solar and make a much more reliable system overall without having to move into most of the storage proposals I've seen can get pretty expensive. So can we do it at a price which still gives people a good consumer product, reliable power, and yet renewably based with a suite of renewable technologies? I think that's what we're looking at.
Well, then, so now our audience is made up a lot of power engineers and system-level designers for not only industrial systems, but also some white goods and consumer, a lot of what's going on in the grid is reaching down to their level as well, from being impacted by either the communication requirements on the grid or the regulatory requirements for even something as simple as power factor correction. Do you have anything that you could say to that part of the community to give them a heads up on what they may be confronting?
Well, I think it's we're heading into a whole new era. That's what from what I've seen, and I don't think everyone has figured out exactly what all the requirements are going to be to keep the system running. I mean, one of the things that I'm sure you're more aware of than I am is the grid itself is antiquated.
Oh gosh, yes.
It's not set up to be this dynamic power system. That's the bad news. Then it's going to cost some money to get there. The good news is, I think if we have this much more dynamic system with, you know, some part of the system is still central station plants and others is distributed generation, but the whole system is going to be much more reliable.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I think that's the goal. That's sort of the vision people have, which what we've been saying is geothermal can be part of that vision. We're not just baseload power. We can do baseload power. We can help back out coal. But at the same point, we can help firm the grid. We can help meet the needs of a dynamic system. And we need to make sure that the grid serves that purpose both ways. So, I mean, I think we'll see a lot of changes in the grid over the next 20 years. But I think in the end, there'll be positive changes.
Yeah, oh, I agree. I agree completely, Carl. I mean, when you think about it, and then the other side of the coin is ecological impact. I mean, I don't want to get all tree-huggy on anybody here, but, I mean, there are positive environmental aspects from geothermal as well.
Well, we're considered to be one of the smallest footprint energy technologies of all, which is, you know, a big benefit. And we've also seen an evolution in technology. As binary power plants have started coming online in the last 20 years, it's relatively new technology. And what we've seen is more distributed generation. I mean, we're starting to see small geothermal power projects, whether it be at a gold mine in Nevada with a 60-kilowatt unit, or a 1-megawatt unit at Oregon Institute of Technology providing localized power, similar to the types of modes we've seen in solar, for example, which is a sort of a whole new activity for geothermal power.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we really are basically creating the world as we go along. I mean, when you think about all of these technologies, all of these challenges that have challenged us, I mean, not to repeat myself, but it really is both daunting and fascinating when you consider the opportunities that lie before us and the obstacles between achieving the goals that we know we can get. So I really appreciate it. Now, what does your organization do? Where can our audience go to get some more information about what you guys are doing, guys and gals?
Well, this day and age, it's the Internet. So it's www.geo-energy.org, and they can learn about geothermal energy and what we're doing. And, we can work together in terms of how we all move forward into this new world we're already facing in the world of electricity. And I think it's sort of an exciting new world that we're moving towards. And, you know, to step back one step, if you really look at what's happened with renewable technologies, we're succeeding. That's the exciting news, whether it's solar or wind or geothermal. The technologies are moving forward. They're becoming more cost-effective, more widespread. All of them are growing. I think this is really a very positive time for all the renewable technologies.
Great. I mean, I agree with you completely, Carl. It's fantastic times we're entering. If we make it through this next series of bumps, I think we're going to have smooth sailing for a while on the energy front. But there are some issues that we have to address on the regulatory front and on the technology front and the standards and integration front.
I think anybody who's been in the energy business knows one rule of thumb, which is there are bumps.
I'm waiting to find out if it's going to be approved by the IEEE, but the wrap session I'm moderating at APIC, I want to make it on smart grid infrastructures, because we really are still just making it up as we go along, and we need to start talking as an industry before we have regulators who have no idea of what's going on technologically trying to impose standards upon us from on the outside.
Yeah, it is no question about it. We're sort of stumbling forward, I think things will work. I think there's a lot of people interested in making the system work. But you're right, there are going to be some bumps in the road, and I think we'll get past them.
Agreed. So, Carl, thank you very much for taking the time to be with us. I really appreciated you having you here.
Glad to talk, Alex.
Okay, and I'd like to thank everybody out there in the audience for taking the time to listen to us. We wouldn't be here without you. Tell your friends. This is Alex Pault for Pault on Power. Have a great day.